my son just kind of, yeah, it's amazing. All right, here we go. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. All right, Bible says, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. What about you, he asked. Who do you all say that I am? He's talking to the disciples there. Simon Peter answers for the disciples, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you are doing some work around here. Lord, I thank you that you build on each one of us. Lord, that you are a miracle working God, that you come amongst us, Lord. Anointing, calling, guiding, empowering, and directing. Lord, I pray healing where it's needed this morning. I pray direction where it's needed. I pray calling, Lord, where it is needed, Lord. And I pray your supernatural wisdom would guide and direct us, Lord, in all the things of the kingdom. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, well, I mentioned George and I went to a diabetes conference on Wednesday. Turn me down just a touch there, Danny, please. Went to a diabetes conference on Wednesday, and it's just been kind of a special week. On Friday, Lisa brought Ashley and Angela and JJ and Danielle home early. They got out at 12 o'clock, and they do that every other week. And she let me know that she was leaving JJ and Danny off at the church. And took the other girls home, and expected JJ to be at the church. But I didn't expect Danny to be at the church. And she said, well, she's locked out. And the bugs live right across the street. And she didn't have her keys. And Aaron was rushing home so that she could get into the house. And there she is with all of her stuff. The whole Friday afternoon, all the stuff in her house. And she's sitting there, locked out. And that describes a lot of people's lives, locked out of the kingdom. We're going to be talking about keys today. Keys to the kingdom. Amen? We've been in a series called The Message. And it is a series about the message of Jesus Christ, and we've been looking through the high spots of Matthew in May, and we're going to continue to do that in June. And to remind you what we have talked about, we took a look at the sending out of the 12. And as the 12 were sent out to preach that message that the kingdom is near, that the Lord wanted them to learn that when you get in challenging times, that is when the kingdom comes close. Amen? We talked about John the Baptist, and we talked about the invitation that we have to enter into the kingdom and whether or not we're going to step in or we're going to turn away. And then last week, we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, and we looked at Jesus walking on water. And as we take a look at that, we realize that the kingdom of God stretches further than we think or than we realize. And I hope this week, anybody have any challenges this week? I hope you realize how close the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven comes into your situation and how easy it is to grab on, step in, and experience the power of the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, we're going to get into some of the details today of the plan of God as we take a look at Matthew chapter 16. I'm sorry, it's a wind tunnel up here. Oh, hallelujah. It's nice, yes. Glory. Give me some water. Wow. It's like being at the ocean or something. All right. I'm sorry about that. Chapter 16, Gospel of Matthew. He sent out the 12. They're going through Galilee. He's been preaching, feeding 5,000. He's been doing all kinds of miracles in Galilee, and the word is going out. And people are coming from the south. People are coming from the north. People are coming from all over. They are taking notice because they are looking for a healer. Can I get a witness on that? Who else is taking notice is Herod. Who is this miracle-working guy? I think he's John the Baptist raised from the dead. Also, the leadership, the religious leadership of the day from Jerusalem is sending up representatives to check out what Jesus has going on. And Jesus, as Pastor Scott talked about, those who left and were not happy when they left his presence, those who were going to continue in sin, he was preaching how twisted that religious leadership in Jerusalem really was. And he begins to describe how dangerous following him is going to be for his disciples. He begins to describe the church and how unsafe it is to be part of the church. And it's not a popular message today. In fact, our culture, specifically, you know, over the past several years, more recently, but even further back, is really bound up with these safe spaces. Have you heard of that? Safe spaces. Not places, spaces. There is a definition in Webster's, right? And it is online. But so anyway, safe spaces, even, you know, they rate Webster's Merriam Dictionary, and it says, for definition, a place as on a college campus, but there are more than just safe places on college campuses. Spreading to Starbucks and other places, got to be safe. Understand what I'm saying? You go to a safe place, and you can expect that it is going to be free of bias, that it will be free of conflict, free of criticism, free of potentially threatening actions, ideas, or conversations. Amazingly, the gospel is intended as a stumbling block for the world. In fact, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, you're going to be hated by everyone because of me. And Jesus' description of the church is hardly a safe space, but is a battleground where the kingdom of darkness is pushed back. Perhaps some of you have experience with the kingdom of darkness. Can I get a witness on that? Perhaps you have experienced the power of darkness come against you and drag you down in your life. Perhaps you experienced the attempts of the kingdom of darkness to drag you down this week. Jesus says, church isn't intended to be a place of safety, but the church is intended to be a place of victory. And he says, you can't win. You're locked out. Title of today's message is Keys to the Kingdom. And we're going to spend our time in Matthew chapter 16. Are we okay? Yes. All right. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to talk about the details of this plan. We'll read verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, which is about 25 miles north of Galilee, kind of getting away from things, and he's going to talk to his disciples. He asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And what Jesus is describing is a work that his Father is doing in the lives of the disciples. Amen? Amen. Now, they are talking about what is going on in Galilee. And what is going on is that the kingdom of God is indeed coming near in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people are missing it. They are missing their Messiah as he walks amongst them. Now, they are taking some guesses, but they're missing the truth. And that can happen in our lives, that we can throw out some hope and some desires, and we could be missing the truth of the kingdom of God. See, error really happens. Error happens when you try to fit your image of Jesus into the real thing. Because so often our image is different than the real thing, so when the real thing comes by, we miss it. That wasn't even what I was looking for. That isn't even what I was expecting. And so many were missing the Lord Jesus Christ as he came. Remember, as we took a look at John the Baptist, the disciples of John the Baptist, John the Baptist in prison said, "Go up and see this guy. He's my cousin." And they said, "Are you the one? Or should we expect somebody else?" I mean, they were missing him. The religious leaders of the day, they sent up representatives and said, "You aren't the one." And so often we got people that are walking around us today, and they are missing who Jesus really is. Now, they're all seeing the same miracles, but they're missing it. The people are missing their Messiah, except for the disciples. And it's not because the disciples were smarter. And it's not because the disciples were paying more attention. It's not because the disciples were closer to Jesus. It is because the disciples experienced a miracle of God. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not because you're smarter. It is not because you've paid more attention to this book, but it is because you participate in the very same miracle that the disciples participated in 2,000 years ago. That if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, it is only because there was a miracle in heaven that was performed in your life so that you could come into that understanding. Can I get a witness on that? I hear that, and I'll tell you what, I celebrate the fact that I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I celebrate the fact that I participate in what God has going on down on this planet. Amen? I hope you get stoked about that too. All right. Verse 18. "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the kingdom of darkness shall not overcome it." And Jesus is going to build his church on the work, the supernatural work of the Father in you. That's like a double supernatural whammy. Can I get a witness on that? Now, see, the church is way more than this building. Me and Mike, we work on this building. Jesus is not working on this building. Jesus is working on the church. And the church is the people of God who have had this miracle by the Father performed in them so that they can understand who their Messiah is, and we come together with a common purpose and a common focus. We draw together so that we can glorify God. That is the purpose of City Heights Assembly, that we can come together to glorify God, that you can come in here and you can find your fullness in Christ. And I hope, as I describe this miraculous supernatural work of God, right here in San Diego, right here in City Heights, right here in this neighborhood, that you're going, I want some of that. I don't want to live like I used to live. I want something new, because that's what those disciples were saying. Amen? All righty.
Let me see if I got all this. Yeah. No, I didn't get all this. Yeah, I did.
We've got some people fighting some battles. We got some people that are moving into victory. We got some people that are pushing back the gates of hell. I want to talk about two ladies. JoJo is working this morning, but it was, I want to say, a month ago that, man, she just had to get away from an upside-down situation in a car, and she had an opportunity to buy a car, bargain from her neighbor. She knows how that story goes. And she had another neighbor that was going to work on that car. He's just going to dial it in and fix it up. And that bargain became a bottomless pit. How many know sometimes you can get yourself in a bottomless pit and you need a little help from heaven? Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes it'll just be dragging you down, dragging you down, dragging you down. But right here it says the gates of hell won't drag you down if you're a part of the church. Can I get a witness on that? And so finally that pit got so deep, she just said, I'm jumping out of this hole and I'm going to go a different direction. She got a car from another neighbor. I don't know. I might want to move. But anyway, that new car seems to be working out. And through all that commotion, she grabbed onto the kingdom a little bit tighter. Amen? The other lady we've been praying for sitting right there couldn't even get to a regular seat. Is that why you're over there? Lori, we've been praying for her back for several months, 6 months now, I think. Three discs are disintegrated. Back is bone on bone, or nerves are all twisted up in the middle of all that, and we are talking about excruciating pain. She has finally got surgery scheduled for July 3rd. Hallelujah. But they don't want to give her pain meds, because when she gets that surgery, she's really going to need those pain meds. And they don't want her to be hooked. You know, you got opioid crisis and all that kind of stuff. So she's been in incredible pain, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And on Wednesday night, me and George were gone. I was talking to my wife about that this morning. She said that in all this pain, I have grown closer to God than I've ever been in my life. See, the church is a place of battle. The church is a place of victory, and unless you're fighting, you're not going to find any victories. Amen? And so as you come in here, it's a dangerous place. But God calls us into danger so he can deliver us through. Amen? All right, let me keep on going. And we're going to talk about the details of the danger. Yes. Verses 19 to 21. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And Jesus is describing that our kingdom victory and that the overall kingdom victory comes at a great price. Jesus talks about keys. Talks about keys to the kingdom of heaven. Do you want those keys? Don't want to be locked out. Amen? Hallelujah. And he talks about these keys are given to the church, the body of believers, those who are called out from the world to glorify God. He gives the church, this group right here, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and it is as if the church is the pathway to the kingdom. And that pathway can be open, or that pathway can be shut. Depends on who you are. The things of the kingdom can be loosed in your life, or the things of the kingdom can be bound in your life. Opportunity. With kingdom keys, we get kingdom power for kingdom victory. Come on there. Hallelujah. Amen for the women from Oregon. Hallelujah. You ever wonder? So I think Willow's got it. You ever wonder what that is? Kingdom keys, kingdom power, kingdom victory. Paul describes it in the book of Ephesians, which we're going to start reading this week in the daily reading, so I hope you're going to be part of that. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Now that's already good. Can I get a witness on that? That your eyes may be open to the hope that you have, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, called that the church, right? And his incomparably great power. Now, what are you going to compare that to? Can't compare it to nothing. It's incomparably great power to who? To us. I hope that includes you who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength, that power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. And I'm wondering, do you have that today? Do you want that today? Because there are keys to enable us to open up and grab onto that. The Lord is building his church and he is building it for victory, so he equips us to overcome darkness. Amen? Amen? The cost is high. He says that he will be handed over to the religious leaders of the day, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. If he is not crucified, he is not raised. And if he is not raised, then we are to be pitied among all men because we are still in our sins. And if we are still in our sins, there's no way we're ever going to win. Can I get a witness on that? All right, let's keep this going. Peter took him aside and began, we're talking about Peter taking Jesus aside, and he began to rebuke him. Just a little side note, no extra charge. If you ever find yourself in the situation where you are rebuking Jesus, you have made the wrong choice. Ah. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never. And Jesus is talking about the redemption of all mankind for all time. Never, Lord. This will never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And it is easy to get off track. Peter doesn't like the plan. Peter sees no victory in sacrifice. No victory in surrender. And Peter, in just a few moments, has moved from being the rock to being the stumbling stone. And he does that because he thinks his plan is so much better than Jesus' plan. And sometimes we can be like that. We think, well, we can do better than God. You know, God is fine, and this book is fine, but I just kind of need to help God out in this situation. Really? Not one amen? Don't you ever get into a situation and say, oh, well, the Word of God ain't never going to work here. I just got to put my plan. Am I the only one? See, sometimes we think God needs a little bit of help. That's what Peter said. Oh, you just need a little bit of help here, Jesus. Jesus not having it. Peter shifts off the plan of God and gets onto his own plan. And his plan's got no sacrifice. And that's why we like our plan. Because the plans we come up with don't generally involve our suffering. Can I get a witness on that part? No suffering and no challenge. And where there is no challenge, there is no power. And where there is no power, there is no victory. And that's the problem with the church today. No power. See, kingdom power is for kingdom challenges. And what we do is we face challenges that we can win on our own. And we don't got to reach out to the kingdom. We don't use kingdom power. So we don't experience kingdom victory. Keys to the kingdom. These are my keys. I got a bunch of them. You know, amazingly, I don't have as many as Yoseli. I was using her keys the other day, and Mike went, whoa! I got a lot of keys, because you know what? I hate looking for keys to unlock doors. Amen? But these are my daily keys. Get my car, starts, it's all good. These are the keys to the Super 88. Get in the Super 88, you don't know what's going to happen. It's a good day when you get in the Super 88 and you don't have to get towed home. Yeah. See, you get in the Super 88, you pray. I pray it starts and I pray it stops. Safety, danger. And so often, the church is a place of safety. We just take on challenges that we can win on our own. And we can win. But they're not kingdom victory. They're just church victory. What I'm saying? All right. Kingdom path is a challenge. You know, a lot of people put their hands up this week about challenges this week, and sometimes we just make dumb choices and we make our own challenges. But you step out, grab onto some kingdom challenge. Grab onto some kingdom power, you're going to experience some kingdom victory. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That's a challenge. Can I get a witness? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me we'll find it. And Jesus says, in all this kingdom stuff, there is going to be a cost to you. He says, you want to live the kingdom life? It is a sacrifice. If you're going to grab on to the kingdom, you're going to have to grab on to the cross. And the cross was an implement of torture, an instrument of death, and an instrument of humiliation. And he says that the kingdom is all about sacrifice. And that is why the way is narrow, and so few are on it. And he says, if you are going to live to glorify God, then you cannot live to glorify yourself. Can I get a witness on that? See, kingdom keys unlock kingdom power for kingdom victory. And pursuing kingdom victory means that you are going to have to leave your victories behind. Who said that? Probably lunch today, man. Get that? Kingdom victories, your victories. Grab onto this. You can't fit both. Amen? Now, there are those. Jesus says, you're going to have a kingdom life. You've got to leave your old life behind. And there are those that will soften that up. There are churches with a message out there that says, you don't gotta go that far. You know what? Jesus is fine. You can put them both on there. And you can lead a double life. A lot of people teaching that. A lot of people buying that. And Jesus says, if you buy this, you will not win in the end. And that's what he's talking about, is the end. Last thing I got for you today, verses 26 and 27. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. And in the end, it's too late to make a change. See, Jesus presents the problem of that person who doesn't leave his old life behind. He says, you get to the end, it'll be too late. You have spent your life focused on pleasure and gain and safety. You know anybody like that? I hope you don't look at that person in the mirror every morning. See, you can try to put a little Jesus on the side of your life. But that's the problem. It's a little Jesus. And there ain't no such thing as a little Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back in glory. I'm coming back with angels. And I'm coming back with reward. He says, when I come back, it's going to be called the day of the Lord. And when I come back, there's not going to be a thing that you're going to be able to do to save yourself. He says, if you're not part of the kingdom now, it's going to be too late then. There's not going to be anything you can give to get a ticket to the kingdom. You'll be locked out. It'll be a shame. It'll be a shame because the people that are in the church will be rejoicing in that day. In that day when we all get to heaven. It'll be a day of rejoicing. Oh, what a day it will be when we finally see Jesus and we sing and we shout the victory when we all get to heaven. I hope you're going. I hope you get there. At least you can come up. The message of the Master. If you're going to get there, you're already here. You're going to make it. You know. You're going to miss it. You're already missing it. Jesus was messing up things for the religious leaders of the day. And you know, I think if he came to our churches today, he'd mess things up. Too many people living a double life. He's saying, I'm going to come back. It'll be too late. Like Pastor Scott said, all those people who were following the Lord when he left, they were feeling good. And I am so proud to serve in the kingdom with so many of you that are here this morning. The life of sacrifice, the life of surrender, that you have the keys. You experience the kingdom power. You experience kingdom challenge, and you experience kingdom victory. And right now, you are feeling good, even if you're feeling bad. Amen? Lori's hurting. I can see she's hurting. The Holy Spirit in you saying, well done. And the people who walked away from the Lord that were in sin, they didn't feel good. And some of you might right now not be feeling real good. Double life. Lord says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And you're not going to be happy to see me. He's letting you know right now. Why? Only one reason. If he is letting you know right now, it is so that you can reach out your hand and you can put it in the hand of the master and you can follow him. You put out your hand and he will put the keys of the kingdom in it as you say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my victories and I want to grab onto yours. I want to know if that's you this morning. Right now, see, there's a heaviness, there's a burden in your soul, there's a burden in your life, and it is the conviction of the Holy Spirit that come upon you and said, you are lost then because you are lost right now. The grace and the mercy of the Master says, you are lost, but you can be found. He says, you give up your life, I'll give you mine. Put down the keys to your safety, and I'll give you keys to the kingdom and overcome all the danger that's going to come at you. Darkness won't be able to tear you down. Nobody looking around this morning. You come in here and you are weighted down. You are weighted down with the keys of your life. You are weighted down with the plans of your life. You are weighted down, and the Lord says, come unto me. You're heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take off the yoke of your life and put the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. And he says, my burden is light, but you can go in a brand new direction. You're here this morning, and it's the Lord that is speaking to your heart right now. And you're saying, Lord, I won't leave like this. I won't live like this anymore with nobody looking around. Lord is speaking to you and saying, I have new life for you. You got to lay down your old life. If that is you, you want that new life. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. Hallelujah. Somebody else, say, that's me. Hallelujah. Right there and right there. That's you, bro? That's you? Anybody else, say, that's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray. And I just got to ask one more time. You didn't put your hand up. The Lord's on you right now. Just shot. Slide your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. You didn't put it up earlier.